Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. I'm the content manager here at Constant Contact, Dave Shrest, and I'm joined by some lovely esteemed colleagues, starting with my left, Mr. Josh Mendelson.
Hi, I'm Josh. I work in product marketing here at Constant Contact, and today I'm having a Victory Hop Devil Ale, a fine, very hoppy brew from Pennsylvania.
Ooh. I am Erica Ayotte. I'm our social media manager, and I am drinking a Sam Summer brewed right here in Boston.
I'm Kristen Curtis. I'm a social media specialist, and I am drinking Wachusett Blueberry because I like it local.
Ooh. And in a can.
Which everybody was freaking out about, but whatever.
It is a very strange.
No, it's a good theme. Good beer in can. It's a new thing. I like it. I'm Dave Gerhart. Work on the marketing communications team, and I'm drinking a Cisco Brewers Whale's Tail Pale Ale fresh from Nantucket.
That's a pretty
local
intense.
Yeah, very local.
I am drinking a Red Stripe, though, and that's Jamaican lager.
Not local.
Not so local.
America?
I do. I'm sorry. My name is Dave Shrest, and I hate America.
No. But
I'm kidding. I love you, America.
Hooray beer.
Yes, hooray beer is the bottom line what we have here today. So thank you for joining us once again, and today's news item is an article up on Mashable yesterday. Facebook tab engagement down 53% since the timeline launch.
So do we want to say what a Facebook tab is first?
So I think we shall. Sure. So the Facebook tabs are now, since the new timeline update, the tabs are the little icons or images underneath, directly under your cover photo, which is the big main image on a Facebook page. And they link to various locations within
your Facebook
page.
Basically, they're like mini pages within a
landing
pages within a brand's Facebook page.
So what are some of the things that could be there, for example?
So, you know, for example, with our social campaigns tool, you can run promotions and offers exclusive for your fans on a tab like that. A lot of restaurants will put their menu on a tab.
Yes, I have a Join My Mailing List.
Join My Mailing List app.
I mean, there's anything. You can have downloadable content, and you can have sign up for a webinar, which I think you just said. Really, anything that you can put on a website landing page, you can put on a Facebook landing page as well.
Right. And just to keep it in perspective, too, those tabs also are things that link off to your photos and the number of likes you have for your page. So those are also included within that tab structure.
Right.
So prior to the timeline update, those were located in the left-hand column of your page.
Yeah, there was a left-hand column, and it was like a mini menu. And they weren't as prominent. They weren't up at the top, and the icons were a little bit smaller.
And now they're, like I said, directly below that cover photo and kind of bigger.
Bigger,
and they have a visual image
image. You can choose which image you use, and
you can customize the text,
but only to a certain amount of characters. It's very short.
Yeah.
And you can also categorize where they're located as
well.
So that's why I think this is interesting, because what you just said, the way you just described the old versus new, you'd think that the new version was better, and you'd be more likely to click on those tabs.
Right.
Given how much you can customize it, given that they're easier to find, given that they're better looking. So,
well, it's a big difference.
It's interesting. Right. Yeah.
So people are looking to the big drop-off in engagement being really driven by the fact that you can't essentially block your page with that tab. So you used to be able to set any tab as the default thing that someone would see the first time they come to your Facebook page, and that's no longer the answer.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the first thing they see is just your timeline. Your wall.
So there's that aspect that kind of drives the engagement based on that, I would think. I think the second is that, you know, although those things kind of add a more visual representation of those tabs, that the timeline itself is actually set up to be more visual. Right. So it's kind of like a, ooh, there's something shiny effect that happens. It's like you can see those tabs, but then like if you have a post pinned or you have something expanded, the images are more, like you get sucked into those other things and kind of taken away from those tabs.
Well, let's take a step back too and say, like, you know, the headline is that, you know, 53% down the...
Since the launch of timeline.
But I think it has to be mainly because of the...
default
page, which is no longer there anymore. Because even before timeline launch, people weren't revisiting pages after they visited them for the first time. I think it's 96% of people never revisit a brand's page, or at least that was the
it was 96% of the activity on Facebook happens
in the newsfeed.
Right, and so that was happening before the timeline change. So I think it's really due to that to that default landing page not being there anymore. But, that being said, I mean, you know, it's still all about newsfeed optimization, meaning that your content really has to drive the engagement.
But one of the interesting things, when this change where you couldn't make it the default page anymore happened, you know, they put out stats, I think they were on TechCrunch, talking about how the vast, vast, vast majority of traffic to a tab doesn't come from making the default.
I remember the article. It was like, tabs don't work like you thought they did.
Yeah, so,
like yeah.
So, you know, the thing that's interesting is that, you know, so all that traffic, most of that traffic was being driven by promotion, whether that's via email or via social posts with a direct link to the tab.
Or ads.
Or Facebook ads or other or tweets or whatever it is that's driving directly to the tab. And that part hasn't changed. And that's the interesting thing to me here is, like, I'm curious about why engagement is so far down when the number one driver of traffic is not, oh, I stumbled onto a page and here's the thing, right?
Well, I think the biggest thing is like you said, TechCrunch said they don't work the way you think. So I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize you have to do those things to bring people to your tabs.
And it is worth pointing out, too, that each of these tabs has their own unique URL. So it functions just like a website.
Yep.
So if, for example, if you wanted to, say you were running a promotion and then you wanted to email your customers to take advantage of the promotion on your Facebook page, you would grab that unique URL from that tab and you could paste that in somewhere in your email. So that's how that might function. So that's one thing, is you can link to that those tabs directly, but you have to do it deliberately. And I think that was the case before, too.
And I think, you know, the whole thing with tabs, I think it kind of put everybody on the same playing field in the fact that if you weren't as creative, you could still kind of just stick up a gate there and just, you know, hope that people would click to reveal your page just to see, you know, what was on the other side. But now that you actually have to do something creative to entice people to do that, you know, there's an advantage to those people.
Well, to be clear, you can still like gate content.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
So
but when you
like that landing page.
Yes.
Right. So what so what that means specifically is that, you know, you can't prevent someone from looking at your wall or throw up that, you know, interstitial page. But what you can do is to make sure that people, you know, in order to download a document or take advantage of an offer, someone has to like your page to be able to do that. So that's what we mean by saying you can like gate content.
And that still works beautifully to grow your audience. I mean, if you're driving people to something that has a great offer or a super cool piece of content on it and you're gating it, people will like your page to get that thing. It's just that the bar, I think, keeps getting higher and higher on what's a great offer or what's a great piece of content.
I think the biggest thing is to kind of view it as each tab is its own individual page, and it's the best way to kind of get the information out there and let people know, hey, these tabs are there. Obviously, don't focus as much as you would on your primary page, but it's really the only way to get the information out there is
mm-hmm.
they each have their own URL, they each can have their own landing page.
I think it works great for audience segmentation too. So if you segment your email list and you have different parts of your audience that you communicate with, you can set up these landing pages to be specific to a particular audience. So say you have, you know, two different offers, one for one type of customer and one for another. You know, you can drive people to different landing pages, and that's a way to, you know, Facebook doesn't allow you to segment your audience in the newsfeed, but you can do it on tabs.
I think the other great thing you can still do with tabs is really, you know, a lot of people gripe about Facebook not delivering business results, and I think that's because they're focused on engagement, right? But what you can do with a tab is still within the Facebook environment, you can really do effective lead capture. You can do,
mm-hmm.
You can have links to special offers, whether that's a daily deal or whether it's a discounted purchase online.
It's conversion.
Yeah, it's all about conversion, lead capture and conversion. And tabs are really the place to do that. It's not within your newsfeed, right? You promote it in your newsfeed, but to keep people within the Facebook environment, you're going to get way less of a drop-off than you are if you push people out to a website.
So a couple things. I just wanted to go back, Erica, to your comment about using tabs for segmentation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain a little bit more about how that works?
Yeah, sure. So like I was saying, you know, if you have a couple different tabs and say one is about, you want to use one for lead capture
mm-hmm.
and then one for conversion. So an example of using one for lead capture would be to gather your customers or rather your prospects
mm-hmm.
contact information. So you could use Facebook ads to do this,
okay.
or another vehicle. So you're trying to get people into your funnel.
Okay.
That's one way, that's lead capture. What Josh was describing when it comes to conversion is say, you know, you have these email addresses, you have these folks who are either trialers or maybe they've been one-time customers. If you want to convert them, you can take those folks and drive them to a different landing page, right?
Gotcha. Okay.
That's about taking advantage of a webinar or taking
mm-hmm.
advantage of a coupon or engaging them with a contest. So that's
okay.
a way to use it for conversion. And so you can use these things simultaneously.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So what this really boils down to then is that regardless of, you know what, even if Facebook engagement on the tabs went down to 0%, nobody ever looked at them, right? Like it's just on their
organically.
Own.
Organically.
Yeah, organically, right? So what the big thing that we need to take away from this is that regardless of what that engagement is there, you should still be promoting whatever it is that you're trying to
promote. It's
not a
build it and they will
right.
come sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because they're probably, you know, your customers or your prospects are just not going to see, they're not visiting your page, first of all. They're seeing your content in the newsfeed.
Right.
Or in their, you know, email inboxes or on Twitter or on
mm-hmm.
any other social networks or through advertising. So you have to be really deliberate about how you drive people there. And to Josh's point about, you know, people complaining about Facebook not delivering value, I think there's this big disconnect. But, you know, engagement is important because that's your engine, right? If you don't have a network that's engaged, they're not going to care about what you're posting, whether that's, you know, a piece of content in the newsfeed or an offer on a tab. But, you know, people tend to think that, all right, I'm going to build a community and get engagement, and somehow it's going to equal business. And that's not how it works. You really
yeah.
have to deliberately connect the two. And one way to do that is to really effectively use tabs on Facebook for a business goal. You have to do, you know, absolutely, you have to do the day-to-day community management to make sure that your audience, that you are staying top of mind with your customers and prospects and that they're, you know, spreading the word about your business. But if you want to get direct sales or, you know, convert folks or get more leads into the funnel, then you have to be deliberate about it. It's not just, oh, community and then magic happens and then there's,
right.
like, money in your account.
Yeah, and I think one of the cool things, too, is that you can, it helps you connect your different social networks, right? Because you
right.
can use Facebook as home base on
mm-hmm.
one of these tabs, where you're driving people there from Pinterest or from Twitter or from whatever, you know, Google+, whatever it is, you know, you can use that as your conversion engine in an environment where people are where people are very willing to share, and it's very easy to share and get that social word of mouth going by people taking action on your page.
Right.
That works really well. Instead of driving someone to a website that no one will ever see what they do there, drive them to Facebook, where whatever action they take is going to show up to their friends.
And I think to that point, you know, Facebook is, that's where the industry is heading. Is that people are going to start to use Facebook more like a mini website. Now, can Facebook do everything that a website does? Should you abandon your website to just have a Facebook page? Yeah, I don't think so. Remember that you don't own Facebook. Facebook owns Facebook, and so your website is something you want to keep and is still powerful and valuable. But to Josh's point, you can make sure that you're deliberately using social media to spread your word of mouth marketing by, you know, Dave is doing clown tricks over here. by, you know, using Facebook's features to make sure that you're getting seen and heard beyond your immediate audience. Another thing that Facebook does get criticized for is that e-commerce, you know, buying deliberately through Facebook has been largely deemed a failure, but the other new thing that Facebook is starting to test is the want button,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is very cool. You know, it's still in the testing phases right now. It's not rolled out to anyone.
Is it sort of like an Amazon wish list on Facebook? Is that
I think it's just like a like button, except it's just want instead. And I think what Facebook is trying to do is actually kind of keep up with Pinterest in a way, because people approach Pinterest in a way that they're in a shopping sort of mentality,
mm-hmm.
and they don't approach Facebook in the same way. It's like
mm-hmm.
a different, you know, way to look at it. So I think this want button is a way to bring that kind of mentality to Facebook.
Let's just hope they leave it to only commerce. People would get a little weird.
Hey, well, you know, it's weird anyway. You've seen some status updates, I'm sure,
yeah.
that have been interesting.
Yes. So let's just leave people with an idea then. Let's say, okay, Dave's company, I'm put up some type of social campaign. I build a landing page on Facebook.
what do I have to do? What do I need to think of? I can't just set it and forget it. I can't just say, hey, here it is, and then expect people to show up there. So what am I
going to
do?
Yeah, so I think there's a bunch of great ways to promote whatever you have going on your tabs on Facebook. You know, so certainly you should be talking about it on Facebook. You should be talking about it on Twitter, directing people to that page specifically,
mm-hmm.
not just to your timeline page. You should include it in your email newsletter. So instead of saying, find us on Facebook, and directing them to your timeline, direct them to that page so
mm-hmm.
they can take real action there.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a great thing to do in store. You know, one of the things that is cool is with the tab, you can change the offer and keep the URL. It's a real URL. It doesn't change. So you can, you know, get some sort of vanity URL for it and promote that in your store. Get that so people are signing up or you're posting like us on Facebook with that URL instead of just your timeline URL.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of driving people to this mess of stuff on your timeline, even if it's visually beautiful,
yeah.
it's all about driving them through every channel you have directly to the tab.
To the thing that they want to do.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point that you bring up and something that we should really, really harp on is that just online in general, if you want somebody to do something specific, it's always best to drive them to that specific page that lets them do that. Rather than give them to the general.
Giving it a chance.
Like,
yeah.
go to our website. Go to our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Like, you're put into a big abyss of links and things
yeah.
to choose from. And because the internet is such a fast-paced environment, the more distractions and things you have in the way, the less chance you have of people actually taking the
right.
action you want them to take. So always think of linking directly to that thing you want them to do.
The other thing I would bring up, too, is, like, you know, don't forget about Facebook advertising either.
Yep.
I think,
great point.
You know, I think that small businesses can take advantage of advertising. It's relatively inexpensive. You can do it for as little as, you know, $25.
I think you have to start at 50 is the minimum.
50 is
it?
Yeah. Regardless, it's pretty inexpensive.
Pretty, yeah.
And it's a way to get new people into the funnel. And you can be pretty specific with your targeting. So I think that's another way to do it. And one other thing that you could do also is that when you post something within your timeline that's related to this offer that you're driving back to a tab, you can also use a promoted post,
yep.
which is another form of advertising. Another new feature that Facebook added is that you can essentially pay to have that post seen by more of your audience than it would be organically.
Great.
So that's another option as well.
Before we jump into the Kristen's tip for the day, let's just say, so that's the important thing, right, is that we need to make sure that if you're running anything on Facebook, if you're trying to drive people to those things, that promotion is the key. You can't just set it, forget it, and hope it's going to work and people are going to show up there. You actually have to actively promote it and encourage others to promote it for you as well. So that's the tip on that.
Yeah.
Kristen, what do you have for us today?
My tip actually kind of has to do with that as well.
Excellent.
So use your resources. Things like email and email signature are often left out of your social media equation. Make sure you let your email list know when you have created a presence on social media. If they enjoy your emails, they will more than likely enjoy following you. Also, utilize your email signature. Place links to your social media profiles in your signature for maximum exposure.
Great. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you do have questions, feel free to send them to us by either commenting in the post below. Or you can actually send your emails directly to
socialteam@constantcontact.com.
And hopefully we'll get to answering your questions soon. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.